Have you ever considered starting your own website? If you want a good one, you're going to need a great web host. That's why I recommend Bluehost. And we have an exclusive offer for everyone who listens to the Adventuring the Girl Life podcast. You can get started with Bluehost for $3.95. They have impeccable customer service. They have a one-click automatic WordPress blog installation. You can't get any easier than that. And when you're ready for more than one website, there's no need to look for more hosting. Bluehost has got you covered. That's why I recommend Bluehost. And you can find this deal at www.jenwhitmoretraining.com under the Resources tab, or www.jenwhitmoretraining.com/resources. Welcome to Adventuring the Girl Life, where we believe life for every girl should be well lived. Each week, we'll explore tips and techniques to add more adventure to your world, from fitness and self-care to career building and fulfillment, and even the most mundane parts of life. So buckle up. I'm your host, Jen Whitmore, certified personal trainer, mom of two, lover of anatomy, and your new partner in adventure. Welcome back to the podcast, girls. I'm so excited. We have another guest. We have had so many guests already, and I love it. I love it so much because there are so many girls who are going on all of these grand adventures. And today, I have with me Casey Payne. Say hey, Casey.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Oh, I'm so excited. So Casey is actually a physical therapist. And so we are going to go through a lot of question and answers today about a functional body. And so Casey and I kind of caught up with each other online and we ended up chatting and I said, oh my gosh, I have to have you on the podcast. This is something that the girls would love because we are all, you know, trying to do the whole healthy thing, fitness thing. And as a physical therapist, Casey is trying to help everyone fix stuff before it gets broken. So most of you girls know you don't go to see a physical therapist until there's a problem, until you have something that's going on. And what Casey's trying to accomplish is getting those things fixed before you have to come and see her. Am I explaining that right?
That sounds 100% accurate.
Fantastic. I'm so excited. So, okay, a little joke, like before we get started, because Casey is a physical therapist, she always says PT. And I'm a personal trainer, so I always say PT. And that is something I always feel like I have to clarify with people. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a PT. I mean a personal trainer. You know, like I have to clarify what I'm saying because I don't want someone to be like, oh, you're a physical therapist. I'm like, no. Just no. So it's something that I always, like we were joking about it earlier because, you know, same thing. Anyways, I digress. So Casey, tell us about how you got started in physical therapy and all that juicy stuff.
Okay. So I am a physical therapist. I've been practicing for about 7.5, almost 8 years. I actually got started in it because I knew I didn't want to work at a desk and because I love the way the body works, the anatomy, all of it, I think is fascinating to me.
Oh, and
I just love
too.
Exactly. I think it's crazy how our bodies work.
I know. I'm such a nerd. I love that stuff. I tell the girls about it all the time. I'm such a dork.
No, it's cool. And it's awesome. And we're constantly learning more. So that's the really neat thing about it. So I love movement. I love sports. I love to be active. So it kind of made sense that I would go into PT. So like I said, I've been practicing for almost 8 years and I've gotten to the point now where I'm realizing that there are a lot of things that we can do, like you said, before we get to the point of pain, before we have injury. So now it's my mission to go and educate and help people so that they don't necessarily need to go see a therapist or anything at that point. I mean, obviously we're there for a reason, but I do think that education will help a lot of things before they happen.
Absolutely. Okay. That is awesome. So I would like for you to just give us an example. I know some things that we were talking about earlier may have been like posture or whatever. So give us a couple of examples about how you mean, you know, what can we do now to prevent a future injury?
Yeah. So I'll use the posture example. So a lot of what we do nowadays is on a computer with kind of the new technology. So a lot of people work at a desk job, which is great. But we also know that if we're sitting at a computer all day for 8 hours every day, that computer being in front of us, we tend to, instead of going from sitting up nice and tall and straight with everything in good alignment, we tend to lean forward, our shoulders round forward, our heads start to come forward towards that screen. And then, you know, we get that nagging pain at the top of our shoulders. It just won't go away. Our neck is stiff. And so that's actually something that I see often in the clinic is my neck hurts. My shoulder hurts. It just always hurts right at the top. And so we can obviously treat those things, which is good. But then we talk a lot about with these people, especially, it's like, let's talk about what your desk looks like, your desk setup at work. Where's your computer screen? How are you sitting? What does your chair look like? All of these things, they're small and they don't seem like they would be what's leading to your pain. But when you add them up together and you're doing that for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, over and over again, eventually your body's going to speak to you. It's going to tell you that we need to change something here because this is not working. So we talk a lot about posture and setup and things like that.
That is so awesome. I love how all of those little things, like we can see how all of those little things kind of like come together and create the problem. And so one of the things that I learned recently about posture myself was, I mean, it's not helpful because I have a laptop, unfortunately, but when you have a desktop computer, you know, a lot of them are made now where you have that availability to like lift your screen up. And so you can physically like lift it up to your eye level so that you are now looking directly onto your screen versus like me, I have a laptop. And so I'm always looking down because I can't, you know, like pick my keyboard and screen and everything up to my eye level. My keys are going to be up near my head, which is weird. But the point is that there are those options, you know, that we have, you know, we can adjust the seat up or down. We can, you know, move the screen of our computer up or down to help that type of posture. I have shown the girls, like on Insta stories and stuff, like I literally sit with one of those, adductor things in between my legs every day. And it's hilarious and weird, but you know, because I have explained to them that about my hip issue, which we'll talk about, in a little bit, you know, in my chair and in my desk, cause my desk is just like a little student desk. And so I have like a tiny hole where my legs fit underneath. And so my legs like cave inward and I cross my legs all the time, which is another, you know, functional body thing. And so I sit with this abductor adductor little thing in between my legs every day because it makes me conscious. It makes me not cross my legs. It makes me put my feet flat on the floor. It makes my hips roll outward to strengthen those outer muscles instead of letting them cave in and become weak, because that is something I've told you before that I am working on. And so I think it's so amazing that there's just all these little things that kind of come up together. But anyways, like I said, I'm such a nerd about this stuff. I just love it. So, so let's go ahead. You just recently did a shoulder video, and a shoulder issue is something that I did. So just a flashback reminder, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago at this point, I was on vacation and I was inside an inner tube and I was hanging my arms like around the inner tube, just floating down the lazy river. And I ended up like hanging there for so long that I like pulled the muscle in my back. And it hurt. I just figured it was one of those things that would eventually like loosen up and go back to normal. And what happened is it didn't. It became so tight that it started pulling like on my breast muscle on the front side. And then it would just get like all knotted up in the back all the time. And now I don't have a full range of motion on that side. And it is something, you know, that I work on, but you can clearly see like when I lay on the floor, that my right arm will lay flat on the floor and my left arm like kind of like won't go all the way down like it's supposed to. So let's talk about the shoulder stuff that you just went over in your video.
Yeah, absolutely. So this video is on a Facebook group that I just created on for this community just of people so we can learn about our bodies and get better.
I love that.
So the shoulder is very complex, and we don't need to get into complexity. Our whole bodies are complex. So when we talk about, you know, limited range of motion in your shoulder, for example, I realize it's not just one thing. There's multiple facets to it. So we could go on hours long of video about what might be your problem. But if we simplify it and we talk about just range of motion, there's a lot that goes into your shoulder. So I went onto this Facebook group and I did a live video. And I went over several different variations of just some basic mobility exercises, activities that you can do on your own at home. So for instance, with you, with laying on your back and not being able to touch your left arm to the floor when you're overhead, there was a simple exercise where I'm not even joking. I unscrewed the broom part of my broom from the handle and used that as a tool for stretching.
Awesome.
So you don't need fancy equipment. You can use exactly what you have in your home.
That's great.
To show. And if you watch it, you'll see my dog in the background too. So you know I'm not lying when I say you can do it at home. And it doesn't have to be all or nothing. I showed some variations where you're standing. I showed some variations where you're laying. I showed some variations where there's a little bit of tissue work, and then also some variations where it gets to the spine, because it's not always just at the area that we're having a limitation. It kind of all works together. So I wanted to take you through and take everybody through in the group, just some ideas, and you don't have to do it all, but you can pick and choose and see what feels good for you. Obviously if there's pain with it, don't do it. But if it's soreness, if it's a little stretching, that's okay.
Right. And something that I have learned through doing these physical therapy type of exercises, I know I told you girls before, I went to physical therapy for a couple of different things for like a good 5 months. And it was finally like, okay, I got to stop going here. You know what I mean? Like, I've got to figure this out on my own. I can't just rely on the physical therapist forever and ever. Amen. Because, you know, for most of us, insurance doesn't even allow that. So I finally stopped. And once I did, I realized that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing because I had that regular appointment that I was going to every week. And so I had to physically like make a time. I had to put an alarm. I had to make a time in the day like you do it, before you get dressed, or you do it right before you eat lunch. And there was like a stipulation, like you can't eat lunch until you do your exercises, you know, whatever that type of trigger is that you need, because this is your functionality, your body, your health. And if you don't have like that scheduled appointment with a person, with someone who's waiting on you, then I would say a lot of us are likely to kind of fall off of the bandwagon. And I'm totally guilty, but we do have to realize that we're going to have to make that appointment with ourselves. You know, we want to get better, so we have to make the strides to get better and do these type of exercises. And of course, girls, we're going to have, I know that Casey's going to be making a lot more videos in the future, and we will put a link to her Facebook group on the show notes, and then we will also put a link to that specific video about the shoulder, if you're really curious, in the show notes as well, so that you can kind of see like where she is and what she's going to be doing, so you can see these things, you know, like with your eyes instead of just, you know, hearing with your ears. So how long, Casey, did you... how long did it take to become a physical therapist?
So this is actually a question I get a lot. So I was kind of the rarity. I actually went to school for 6 years. Most schools in the country and elsewhere, even outside of the country, it's a 7-year program, essentially.
Wow.
Yes. So you need a bachelor's degree. This is where my program was a little bit different. You only needed 3 years as long as you had all the requirements. But most people, even in my class, had a degree. So typically it's 7 years. So you have to have a bachelor's degree, and then you have 3 years of a graduate program that gives you your doctoral degree at the end. So it's a lot of training, a lot of education, but definitely worth it. I mean, you learn a ton in those 7 years for sure.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I feel like for some reason I was just like under the misconception that it didn't take, you know, that long to become a physical therapist. So obviously, you know, we want to make sure that our doctors and, you know, nurses, physical therapists, everybody's very knowledgeable, but I didn't realize that it actually took that long. So I want to ask you, can you give us an example, or, you know, multiple examples really, of some of the things that we are doing on a regular basis that we don't even realize that are going to start causing us problems? You know, one of the things we mentioned earlier was posture. Mm-hmm. I know crossing our legs, like that's not a good thing, but tell us, give us some examples of some stuff that we're doing that we may be unaware of, and then tell us what's going to happen if we continue to do them.
Okay, so it's really interesting. This is actually the section I just finished today on my book.
That's so awesome.
A lot of examples. One is let's talk about if you're a new mom or you have a toddler running around. Mm-hmm. How do you carry them? We typically hold our babies, hold our toddlers on one side, tends to be opposite of our dominant hand because we hold them on one side and do things with our dominant hand on the other side.
Uh-huh.
So that is one that I see a ton with new parents. Mm-hmm. And it could be male or female. And what else do we do? Picking up laundry or picking things up off the floor. Mm-hmm. We just bend over and pick her up, right? We don't really think about it.
You mean we bend over like from our back and our hips, not from squatting in our legs?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So, and typically when we do that, and I mean, I'm a physical therapist and I catch myself doing this.
Oh yeah, we're all guilty for sure.
Right. We're not really aware of our body. So even if we are doing that, it's just kind of like our body just relaxes into that position. It's not like the muscles necessarily are even doing that much. We kind of have a lot of gravity, if that makes sense, when we're bending forward. But instead of bending at the knees and the ankles and the waist to go pick things up. What else do we do today? So driving is a big one. I catch myself all the time when I drive. Everybody's got their style. Most of us are not 10 and 2 drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I always have my left arm on top of the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you grip with just the one side, right, we're adding different rotational forces that because we're doing only one side of our body.
Mm-hmm.
And also it changes the way that your shoulder joint is rotated, which can cause some issues up and through the shoulder, meaning there's not a lot of room in your shoulder to move. And if you're already kind of closing that down a little bit every time you go grab the steering wheel, that can eventually lead to different issues down the road as well.
Yeah. Okay. So give me the example then. So you're saying like, if we, like, for example, I'm left-handed. P.S. my husband's left-handed too. It's like our funny thing. Like we're both left-handed. I really thought it'd be fun if we had like left-handed children, but we don't. They're both right-handed. I'm like, come on, man. So it's just like our funny little thing. My husband and I both left-handed, left-handed people. Anyway, side note, I know that's weird. So I'm left-handed, so I'm going to hold my kid on my right hip so I can do everything with my left hand. So then my body, you're saying, is going to like kind of go out of whack because now I'm having all this extra loaded force on my right hip. And so now I'm like jutting my hip out, you know, exactly, to basically use it as a shelf for my kid's behind. And so now I'm making like my spine and my body not stand up properly. And that's not a big deal. But once we've had, you know, 2, 3, 4 children and we've done it back to back year after year, then that, you know, multiplies onto where we're starting to have problems, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's exactly it. That's actually probably a better term than I could use, is you're using your hip as a shelf to hold your child. And I mean, if you think about that, right, it's not only your spine. And then we look even down towards the floor. If you're holding your, if you're shifting your hip over to that right side, you're holding your kid on the right side, you're inevitably going to be putting a lot more weight just through that right foot as well too.
Right.
So that is where we have to, that's where that kind of chain comes in, where everything else is related to the other thing. That old song, the hip bones connected to the knee bone.
Yes, like exactly.
From when we were kids applies.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a perfect example of kind of the out of whack that happens that we don't even realize is happening because we're just trying to live. We're just trying to get things done.
Right. And so that brings me to, you know, what are we supposed to do about these daily problems, you know, that these routines that we're, you know, getting ourselves into that are going to cause us problems? How do we overcome?
Right. So the biggest thing that I tell people is awareness, right? My job is to make you aware, but I can't change it for you. Mm-hmm. So if you, awareness is huge. So it takes what, 21 days to make a habit is what they say. So it's not like you do it one day and you're automatically going to, it's just going to be perfect. So it's going to take time. So maybe instead, or like maybe one day you carry your child on the right hip and then the next day you kind of force yourself to carry the kid on the left side while you do things. And you kind of switch back and forth.
Every
day. Or you just make a conscious effort to, when you have to go pick up your infant or toddler, that you're like, I'm going to do it on the opposite side.
Okay.
And even just for a little bit, because it's going to get harder, right? We're just maybe not as strong or as able on that side. Then you can switch.
Not to mention our kid is growing, you know, day by day, those little stinkers get heavier.
And squirmy. And they get squirmy on you. But yeah,
yes.
So it's making that effort to be aware of what you're doing. It's not going to take away from the activities you need to get done, but just that split second of, okay, I'm going to hold them on my left side now. And then you'll eventually innately kind of move them onto the other side, but at least you're giving your body a chance to work in that matter.
Gotcha. Okay. And also, I was just thinking, because you're so right. I love the word that you use when you said, you know, just awareness. You can't make people do things, but the awareness level being there and they realize, oh shoot, I'm doing that again. Those little changes just with that, oh shoot, awareness, you know, is going to help in the long run. And so it made me think, when we were talking the other day, I was talking about my posture. And so I have been a sloucher for years. It's just, you know, something that wasn't focused on at my house, about sitting up straight. And I'm totally guilty. I don't, you know, I don't correct my own kids' posture, but something that I am very, very aware of is that I slouch. And so I try really hard to make sure that my posture is good, you know, stand up straight, sit up straight, whatever. Now it, you know, it's obviously it's not all the time, but it is something again that I'm aware of. So it is something that comes to my mind often. And so what I realized, this is so crazy. So mom's earmuffs, this is the time. Okay. So I realized that I would try to stand up straight, like for pictures, and basically I'd be sticking my boobs out. And I'm like, I don't understand why I'm sticking my boobs out. Like, I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to hold my shoulders back and like stand up straight for a picture so I don't look like slumpy dumpy, you know what I mean? And so I told my husband about it. I'm like, why do I look like I'm sticking my boobs out all the time? And so what I realized is that what I was doing was incorrect. When you sit up straight, you pull your shoulders up and back and your arms back and down, but you're also engaging your core. You're pulling your core in, mm-hmm. and you're basically, if you think about your spine, you're basically just lining all of your vertebrae on top of one another, sitting up straight, pulling it all in. And if you have been in the physical training world, exercise world for any length of time, you've heard how they tell you to suck your belly button into your spine. And so if you can imagine that, I know you're probably like sitting at your desk or driving to work right now, but if you can imagine just pulling yourself upward like a string out of the top of your head, that's how you should be standing up straight. So what I was doing was I was caving in my core and pulling my shoulders back. And so that's exactly what it looked like. I was like sticking out my stomach and my boobs in order to pull my shoulders back instead of pulling everything upward by the string. So it's just those like subtle awarenesses of what's going on. Now, I know that was like a really long story for something crazy. But you get the point. You know, there's all these little things that move and connect together, and we have to make sure that we're all doing them the right way. It's just the same thing as posture or form when you're lifting weights. If you do one thing wrong, you know, you're going to jack up something else. If you don't pull your core in while you're doing squats or lifting a bar or anything, then you're using your back muscles because you mm-hmm. have all those muscles that work in the front and in the back. You can't just work one or the other. And that's exactly, I think, you know, what you're saying, Casey, just like in yoga, you have to work the left side just as much as you work the right side.
Yes, that's absolutely. And I think that posture example is absolutely the perfect example. The description you use from like pulling a string from the top of your head, that is 100% perfect. So if you can imagine that and what that would feel like to you, that's a perfect way to kind of adjust yourself when you are trying to make a habit of it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we're going to talk about my hip because girls, okay, I would absolutely love to talk about someone else's injury, okay? But for the sake of this conversation, I'm the guinea pig here, okay? So I noticed, I would say probably way back, like after I had my son, who is now 8 years old, that when I would sit on the couch, you know, like you pull your legs in and you kind of sit, not really Indian style, but you know, you kind of sit with your legs pulled in and your legs like off to the side, my hip would hurt. And then I would just readjust and I'm like, gosh, you know, why is my hip hurting so much? And that was, you know, years ago. And then now, you know, for like the last year-ish, I think we're moving way past the year mark at this point, that I have been trying to rehabilitate my left hip because I started out with plantar fasciitis. And then we figured out, thank goodness for physical therapy, that we figured out that it was a hip problem and not a foot problem. So because I had a hip problem, now I've caused a foot problem, which is so irritating. So tell me, Casey, what are some things that we can do about hip strength? Because hip strength obviously is so important. Like we hear all the time about how the elderly pass away, you know, from hip injuries. Like once that hip goes down, then that's it, you know? So what are some things that we can do just as we age, mm-hmm. as far as the hip goes and our back, you know, things like that, to combat, you know, just functionality, just having good functional ability in our bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love that you bring this up because if I tell everybody, if you're only going to work on one area of your body, the hips are it. They're your powerhouse. Yes. They help you with everything, every transitional movement you make. So from laying down to sitting, to standing, to walking, to stairs, you need your hips. So as far as training goes, the best piece of advice I can give to people is it comes down to one word, and that's balance. Not necessarily balance as an, oh, I don't want to fall, but it's balancing out your training.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we want to make sure that we hit muscle groups and hips from all angles. So this is especially important for the hips. It's important for all areas of your body, but the hips especially because they are so dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So the most common thing that I see that we miss in training or just in general is working laterally. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I had talked about this, and it kind of goes back to the little device that you sit with, right? To give you awareness, because we need to get the outside of our hips active and awake and strong. Because those are the muscles that help us when we stand on one leg, which you do 80% of the time when you're walking and 100% of the time when you're running. And when you're going up and down stairs, you're on one leg. So we do it more than we think of. So
I'm going to stop you real quick. Explain to me what you mean by that. What do you mean by we're always on one leg?
Yes. So when you walk, just the way that the gait cycle works is you're going to put one foot in front of the other. And then you, to be able to do it again, you have to pick up the back leg and move it forward.
So
in that motion from the set, when you go to pick up your back leg till when it touches the ground in front of you, 80% of that full cycle, you're on one leg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and then with running, it's exactly like that. But to define the activity between running and walking, it's 100% of the time you are on one leg.
Wow.
Yes. So, and think about when you go up steps, you don't jump steps. Mm-hmm. Put one leg in front of the other, and then we do that same kind of motion that we do when we're walking. So, we're on one leg. We use that one side a lot. So, if we're not adding some strength and balance to that, that's when we start to see a lot of issues as far as instability or weakness, and we're much more likely to, like you use the elderly example, to fall or and break a hip, right? We hear that often because we don't have that support around there.
That is so crazy. I don't think I've ever thought about that. So literally every step you are taking, left step is taking all your body weight, right step taking all your body weight. Like that is just crazy. You never think about that. You know what I mean? Like you always think that you're obviously walking on both legs, you know, even when you stand, you're standing on both legs. But again, we go back to that awareness that you mentioned, you know, just standing. I know we always end up, and I think a lot of it is, obviously it's habit and routine, but I'm totally going to pick on us lazy Americans. You know what I mean? Like I'm totally going to pick on us, Americans or whatever, like lazy Americans. Like we don't have good posture. And when we stand on like one side, you know, like you know, we're just kind of like slouching around, standing on the one leg that we're dominantly on. And so I didn't even, you know, I realized that in standing that we're being lazy, but I didn't realize, you know, in walking that we literally are putting all of our body weight on each side with every single step we take. That's love this stuff. Love this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, why would you think about that? That's
right.
That's the last thing that we need to think about, but that's why I exist, is because that's my job. That's what I like to help people with. So, to kind of answer your question, I tend to go on tangents, but
no, we're good.
It's balancing out what you're training. Okay. We need to make sure that we're looking at things from a lateral standpoint. So moving side to side. So we're training our legs out to the side. And we're also working behind us, right? We don't walk backwards, but everything we do throughout the day is in front of us, right? We type, we walk, we drive, everything we do is in front of us. So that means that it's more important to make sure that we're training the opposite side. So we're training the backs of our legs, our glutes and our hamstrings and things like that, because we don't use them as often as we should in our daily activities. And then also making sure that we're adding some form of rotation into our training. So whether that's or single leg training, it is a good example, like a lunge, right? We're usually working kind of one side versus the other more. And just training our body to get comfortable and reacting and learning how to operate in those different areas and aspects, especially our hips, is going to help you a ton in the long run with a lot of a lot of issues.
That's so awesome. So obviously, girls, there's like a ton of rabbit holes that you can go down when it comes to functionality in your body and everything. And so if there's something specific that you're really wanting to know, dude, just ask. Just go to Casey's, you know, Facebook page, whatever, just ask her and she will explain it to you. And that's exactly what we're, you know, trying to build here, what she's trying to build in her group. And so we can make you aware of these things. And, you know, I remember when we were having our conversation the other day, I mentioned, basically just the bottom line of body mechanics. And that is, you know, how we are formed when we're born. And then once we start to grow, how we crawl and how we walk and all of these things are growing and changing as we age. But, you know, as parents or as doctors or whatever, as long as everything looks, I want to use this, you know, quote unquote, normal, then functionality is okay. You know, there's nothing specific that they're going to be specifically looking for. But as we become older and we realize what's going on, for example, again, moms with the earmuffs, I have no booty. Okay. So let's just say technical term, glute muscles. I have never had a behind. Okay. End of story. So it is something that I have to work on a lot. And that's just one of those, it's a body mechanics thing. Like I have legs, like I have got strong, strong legs, and your glutes are what power your legs forward when you walk. And that's just a body mechanics thing of how I was born, my genetics. Like I have really good legs, which means I'm using a lot more of my legs than I am my glutes when I walk. And that's just how it is. Like some people are born and they have like these great round, perfectly, you know, apple shaped behind. And so it's just how it is. You know, it's just your genetics. It's your body mechanics. It's the habits that you have as you grow into an adult. And so for me, that is something, again, with, you know, the habits and the daily routines, something that I have to specifically work on are my glutes and my back muscles. And those are just things that I have. Like sometimes, you know, sometimes people just have their thing. You know what I mean? Everyone has their like one or two things that are really great about them. And my legs are my good thing. My glutes are not my good thing. You know, it's something that we just have to focus on what is specifically right for us. What kind of workout design do we need to do for our body mechanics? Because everybody's different.
And this is where I love what you do as a personal trainer, because I have seen exercise program after exercise program after exercise program that people follow. But when they come into me, I'm like, it's just not right for you. So having a one-on-one or even a small group that you may lead where you can really design for a person is such a value for people. And I think it's well worth the investment in the short term and for the long term to have that ability there.
Okay. And so I know you mentioned earlier, we kind of skipped over there for a minute. You are writing a book. And so tell me, I'm really excited about your book. Tell me what your book is going to be about.
Yes. So it's going to be about basically how to help yourself. And so it's kind of everything that we're talking about today. It's going to be an in-depth guide and look at how you can take control and help yourself. So it could be constant or nagging or kind of dull pain that you may have, or maybe you can't do a specific exercise because of a pain, or, oh, I had surgery on this a couple of years ago. I was told not to do that. So there's a lot of things. So this book is meant to kind of help give you an understanding of your body, how your body works, kind of how pain works in our body, because I don't think we have a great understanding of pain in itself. And then also it's going to dive into some solutions, not only with exercise, but also with your day-to-day habits, your lifestyle choices. It's going to give you some self-assessment guides to kind of check out things like your range of motion, and also some proper form and technique on a bunch of different exercises, as well as some tools that you can use to do those things. So it doesn't necessarily have to be in a gym, but a lot of this stuff can be done at home. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we think exercise, 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 that's what you go to PT for. But I'm writing this because there's so many things that you can do, and that most of the time is outside of exercise that you can do to help yourself. So it's going to be kind of a really well-rounded guide to look at multiple factors.
Oh, that's so awesome. And do you have, I'm totally putting you on the spot, do you have like a date that we might expect to see it? Maybe a roundabout time of year?
I don't have an exact date. I'm really, really, really pushing to get it done this spring. So I'm really hoping in the next couple of months to have it out there. So
gotcha.
Like I said, it's going to be an ebook, because online is just always easiest for everybody. You don't have to go to a physical store. There eventually I may do a physical copy, but I'm going to start with an ebook to get it out there. But I'm shooting for the next couple months. I'm really writing a ton right now. So
that's awesome. So girls, obviously, if you are interested in Casey's book, you can join her Facebook group. And I'm sure that you'll obviously have all the, you know, info that you need as far as your specific questions go, but also, you know, when the book will be coming out, because I am very interested in this type of stuff. Just for the bottom line of aging well, you know, that's something that I have always, I'm not like a, I don't want to say like I'm not a like crazy adrenaline junkie. I definitely love, you know, like I like to jump off cliffs and I want to go rock climb, like all that kinds of, you know, fun, adventurous things. I'm definitely like an outdoorsy type of person, but I'm not a like Evel Knievel type person because I realize how I want to feel when I get older. You know, I don't want to be so, I guess, messed up that I can't, you know, walk properly or have a full life when I get to a ripe old age. And so these are things that I am trying to be conscious of now so that I can age well and so that I can enjoy the later years of my life. And so all of this stuff is really, really interesting to me. And I just really was so excited to share Casey with you today. Now, Casey, again, one more time, I'm going to totally put you on the spot. on Adventuring the Girl Life podcast, at the end of every episode, we do a segment called The Crown and the Flop. And so it is, I know it's hilarious. It is a crowning moment of your week and a huge flop moment of your week. And basically, it can be absolutely anything. It can be something silly and minuscule, and it can be something like huge and amazing. But basically, the point of our crown and our flop segment is just to let everybody know that we are all adventuring this life together. None of us are perfect. We have great times and bad times, and it just gives us a good laugh.
Oh man, that is on the spot. well, I will say the crowning moment of my week, and oh man, I will say I have three daughters. So everybody listening, I have three girls ages 5 to 11. So it is noisy, rambunctious, crazy all the time. And personalities clash like no other. So the crowning moment this week, I have one kid in particular that's a little bit harder for me to stay patient with. And all day, because it was a weekend. So it was, I think it was Sunday, because we were home all day with them. I did not one time raise my voice at her. So this was a very challenging task with this one in particular, but I was so proud of myself for remaining calm because it is something I am really, really, really trying to do. And
good for you.
Really proud of myself. So
we all have those, you know, those mom moments, you know, like we're all human and sometimes we have those kids that are challenging. So good for you. Oh, you made it through.
Thank you. The flop of the week is
here we go.
Probably, oh man. I don't even know if it, like, this is all of us though. So my week is only halfway there, but I will say the flop of the week is my daughters are also in dance. and they dance pretty competitively. Mm-hmm. And so they start dance competitions this coming weekend. So in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a rehearsal, like an all day rehearsal in their costumes, makeup, everything, 2 days ago. So on Monday. So I'm like hauling their big old duffel with all their costumes and their makeup and their hair pieces. And I live in Minnesota.
Wow.
So we have been getting snow and snow and snow and ice, and it's still snowing right now like crazy. And I have like 12 costumes in my hand, and like kids are running out the door. We're late because we're always late because there's 3 kids and a dog and the whole thing. And I dropped half of the costumes right in the snow. Like, but it wasn't like the white snow. It was like the muddy, icky, like gunky, ice, nasty, dirty snow. So that was definitely my quote unquote flop.
You poor thing. They're pretty costumes.
Oh, I tried so hard not to let them see, and I just had to like try to clean it up really quick and like not let the dance teachers know. It was like a whole thing. So
but you made it through, right?
I made it and can't even tell, so this is good.
Yes, mom score. That's awesome. Okay, girls. So again, just to make you aware, Casey has a Facebook group. We're going to put all of the information in the show notes for you. I am so excited that you are with us today because you know I love this topic. And I'm so thankful for you being on the show, Casey. Thank you so much. Girls, until next week, adventure on.